Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
There is no doubt that there is another agenda afoot, and that is one to normalize transgenderism, to try to convince people that those who feel they're born in the wrong body can, in fact, go through surgery and hormone treatments to switch to the gender they believe they were actually born as. More and more we hear of the news of children who believe they're born in the wrong body. Just recently, California Democratic Congressman Mike Honda announced that he has a transgender grandchild, an 8-year-old little boy who believes and now identifies as a little girl. The congressman fully supports this lunacy. And of course, in PA, Governor Tom Wolf has announced his choice for our next physician general, a man who has identified as a woman for 5 years, Dr. Rachel Levin. My guest today has a different story to tell, his own. Walt Heyer was born a man, but lived for 8 years as a woman. Thanks, Walt, for being with us and for being willing to tell your story.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And how did you begin to believe that you were a girl rather than a boy?
Well, just like a couple of the cases you're talking about there, I started out as a 4 or 5 year old child cross-dressing, so I was a young child transgender back then. And now I'm, that's been 70 years ago, so I've got a pretty good span of time to begin to deal with this on a basis of reality and not fantasy. So what happens as a child, anybody can influence you into thinking that you're someone you're not if they're given enough time and influence in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was my grandmother took the time to make me a dress, and when I was over there being babysat by her, then she took the time to dress me up and then affirm me as a female.
Prior to that, did you have the feelings that you were a little girl, or did she just something she took upon herself?
I don't really know the exact turning point there, whether I suggested to her or not. I don't have that recollection.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I know is that, I enjoyed the time with Grandma cross-dressing. I wasn't objecting to it.
Right,
And so, but what happens at that moment, the realization comes that you're cross-dressing. I can tell you that I do remember thinking that there was something wrong with me, that if I was actually a boy, I wouldn't be cross-dressing. And if I was really okay, then Grandma wouldn't be trying to change me to a girl.
Okay.
So what it suggested to me was there was something wrong with me, especially wrong with me as a boy. So what we know now from studies is that such behaviors by adults actually causes mental disorders in children.
Well, that makes sense because children are impacted by the adults around them, influenced by them. Yeah. And the APA is, to me, they're going down the same road as they did with the issue of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
They're going down the same road with transgenderism. And that's going to impact counselors because, as we see with this congressman's little grandson, who now identifies as a granddaughter. And of course, the Democratic congressman is fully affirming his quote-unquote new granddaughter. But also counselors many times, or most times, from what I've read, also encourage parents of children who are confused about the sexuality. The counselors will encourage the parents to let the child play out their fantasy or play out gender that they believe that they are. What kind of, that does irreversible damage to a little boy or a little girl who's confused about their sexuality.
Yeah, and we got to keep in mind that these children don't start out this way. They're getting some influence from the parents, or they're seeing something on television, or somebody's talking to them about it, or they're overhearing it. Kids don't come up with transgender on their own. Some adult has to give them that information. And so I think we've got adults who think this is a great new age thing and that they're full of tolerance and acceptance and all that. And so this comes to the forefront. But the kids are being reinforced by parents and by society, by the schools, and now by laws. And it is psychologically destructive to kids. I personally, from my own experience, think it's child abuse. Mm-hmm. And I think any parent who participates in the activity themselves has psychological problems.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, I think the kids ought to be in Child Protective Services because my life was destroyed by that time of my grandmother cross-dressing me. It developed mental disorders, and it changed the way I thought about myself. I didn't come up with that on my own.
Yeah.
And then it has caused me this difficulty for the balance of my life, to the point to where in my 40s, so distraught by what happened as a child, I thought the only resolution to solving that gender dilemma was a surgical change, which I went through with all the hormones and did all that, and lived 8 years as a female in San Francisco working for the federal government. Mm. And only then, when I started studying psychology at UC Santa Cruz, I began to understand how the brain is wired and how children can be greatly influenced by parents, and how we can actually make kids think anything if we take the time and develop them in that direction.
Right, So as we see more and more transgender characters, like on television, parents need to be very, very careful. I mean, there's hardly anything, there's next to nothing that's decent to watch on television anyway, but too many times parents use the television as a babysitter, or they don't fully comprehend the damage that can be done to children who are watching programs such as Glee, which they're just now coming out with a transgender, I guess the coach is now coming out as transgender. And here in Pennsylvania, with Governor Wolf promoting Dr. quote-unquote Rachel Levin as the next physician general. You know, and with her, rather with him, I need to be careful because he is a him. He has not changed, no matter. I mean, still genetically, he's a man. And with him being out in the public with his picture all over the paper, that's going to just reinforce the idea that, well, yeah, a little boy feels he's a girl, then it's okay, I can change. Look what Dr. Levin did.
Yeah, and I think we need to understand that this is an agenda by people who advocate for social change, which is a word we've heard a great deal about.
Oh, yeah.
And that social change includes socially changing the identity of gender. I mean, we have the LGBT now suggests there are 56 different genders. Mm. So there's part and parcel to eradicating the genders male and female and pushing them aside with television things, with stuff on the internet. And truthfully, having been through it and having lived in the community, having spoken with the people and speaking to the ones who regret it now, which now I've gotten over 20,000 hits to my website in the last 30 days.
Wow. I know that your story was just, I read it most recently on, it's a UK newspaper, The Guardian, The Daily Mail, I can't remember which one it was.
Daily Mail.
Okay,
Yeah, and so I've written books about this, and people can look at that and see what the research studies say, and that book is Paper Genders is one of them, Gender, Lies, and Suicide, and then one book that's great, it's a great novel that tells about how my story developed and how I was able to restore my life in the book Kid Dakota.
Okay.
And The Secret at Grandma's House.
The Secret at Grandma's House. Okay.
Yeah, it's a great book. And so all those books are available at Amazon. So we have an agenda by a very powerful lobby group that's well-funded, and they're supported by the White House. The White House has over 250 people that he's appointed to different positions throughout his administration that are bisexual, lesbian, transgender, and other.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fighting a fairly big force. The trouble is that when you look at the research study, which I've done extensively, is that the research study is counter to anything they're telling us about what happens.
Yeah.
People are committing suicide.
Mm-hmm.
41% of them are attempting suicide. Young children's attempt suicide rate is much greater than even the 41%.
Oh my goodness.
I think what we're seeing is that any time people begin this process of a gender change, and it's not the bullying, that's not what's causing suicides.
But of course, that's what people, they say. That's what they, the homosexual activists say was bullying. And that's what causes it. But yeah.
But the truth is, people commit suicide because they have psychological disorders and they're psychologically unstable. Anybody who is of good, sound mind can get through any kind of process, whether they're put in prison for years or, I mean, we see all kinds of things that people go through that they can come out the other side without committing suicide.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a population, and I just read a research study that says 62.7% of them have what's known as a comorbid disorder, and those comorbid disorders are what's leading this population to commit suicide at real high rates.
Mm.
30% of them have dissociative disorder, which is known as multiple personalities. And we can see how that can develop in a young child when you're telling them they're somebody else. It begins to split their personality and they struggle psychologically. So we're basically, in the kindest terms that I can say, we're ruining the kids.
Yeah, we are. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we're just thankful that you have the courage to tell your story. Because, and I'm sure that I think there's only like 700,000 in the U.S. who identify as transgender. But as you've told your story, have you been under attack? Because I know former homosexuals are always under attack when they say you can change. But have you been attacked because of your story?
Well, what I find is that I get more people who are transgendered who write me and say, thank you for doing this because I know my friend committed suicide.
Okay.
I know my friend is struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you always get somebody who's, you know, crazy.
Yeah.
And they'll say things. But
but
the majority of people in the transgender community appreciate what I'm doing because I'm trying to prevent unnecessary surgeries and I'm trying to prevent suicides to this populace way too high.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
The president signed an order trying to prevent suicide among the military people coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The suicide rate is actually higher for transgenders than it is for the group coming back from war.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. 41% with transgenders. Wow.
I don't see him signing anything up at the White House that says...
in fact, he wants transgenders in the military.
We're collaborating by helping these kids. We're actually assisting them toward mental disorders, suicide, and a life of poverty and destruction. If that's what they want for this population, we're not going to see the consequences of what the parents are doing. Whether this guy's a senator or congressman, I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
We're not going to see the consequences until, like myself, the consequences didn't come to bear until I was nearly 50 years old.
Yeah. And at that point,
it's not instantaneous.
And the same thing with homosexual, quote unquote, parents who are raising children. We won't see, by and large, we won't see the long-range consequence of that. But as you're saying, you know, as we see the transgenderism being normalized, the kids, like so many times, it's the kids who are being used in this great social experiment. But in your case, when you went through, decided to go through with the sex change operation, you were married and you had two children. How did that affect your marriage?
Well, I divorced my wife before.
Oh, prior to. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had, you know, that was
out of the way.
That was dissolved. I was
married
17 years and that was
dissolved. Okay.
So I was unmarried for about 10 years.
Okay.
So
then you lived as Laura Jensen for 8 years. Absolutely.
Right.
Did that solve your issues, your problems that with the sex change operation?
At the outset, I thought it was the greatest thing that had ever happened. You know, and people told me how happy I was and how good I was and all that stuff. But the truth is there's sort of like a glow that starts out early on for transgenders. And then depending on whether it's 3 months or 3 years or 1 year or 2 years on down the road, I've gotten letters from people who regretted doing it all the way up to 32 years after the surgery.
Oh, my goodness.
And everywhere in between, I've had two letters where it was 3 weeks after the surgery.
Mm.
So we don't do, they're not doing a very good job of evaluating people for the surgical procedure, nor we're doing a much worse job with the young children. I mean, they should be, in all the other countries in the world, they won't do this stuff to kids under the age of 16, some of them 18. I think it's in the Netherlands and I'm not sure of that, but one of the other countries mm-hmm. requires you to go to court to give them hormones or hormone blockers before you begin doing that to a child. So, you know, we're like the Wild West. I mean, is crazy.
That's for sure, because there's a doctor up in, I think it's in Boston. It's up in Massachusetts, who is willing to give puberty blockers to young children.
Dr. Spack.
Okay, yeah. And
I call him Spack the Quack.
Stack the, that's very good. I'll make a note of that. Because, I mean, to me, as a parent, I cannot comprehend how a parent can validate their sexually confused little child.
Because the parent is sexually confused, because the parent is not of stable mind. And we're dealing with a population of people who are either just don't want to deal with it and just mm-hmm. turn their kids over to the doctors.
Yeah, and the doctors affirm the child.
And the doctor's going to do it because it makes them money.
Yeah,
I mean, let's face it, once they get the needle in them and they do this, you've got to keep it going.
Yeah.
So, as I said, I think we're not going to see the consequences for years. So when I'm speaking about it now, they say, well, yeah, the kid's doing fine. He's looking great. He's enjoying going mm-hmm. to school. I enjoyed all that stuff, too, until it finally hit me in my 40s.
Yeah.
And then you realize what a nut job you are for having mm-hmm. given someone the permission to do that stuff to you. But you kind of got to sober up and get your sanity back before you realize how badly you've been duped and shafted by this whole transgender thing. It's so ridiculous. What I don't really understand is why women accept the premise that they can take a man and cut his genitalia off and identify him as a female and give him a new birth certificate. You would think there'd be a 5 million women march on Washington saying, you can't diminish me as a woman mm-hmm. by cutting a man's genitalia off and saying they're equal to me.
Yeah, but we haven't seen
that. Does that make sense to you?
It doesn't make sense to me at all. And it doesn't, you know, this whole thing doesn't make sense to me. It's just mind-boggling, and especially, you know, the idea of transgenderism, but also the idea that those in power are pushing this as normal. It's
And they're not born that way. The studies show this is a household developmental psychological disorder that never will see the light of day because the transgender community won't let you go for therapy. They've mm-hmm. got the counselors blocking you from going and saying there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
Because if they do go and have a good, sound, deep evaluation from somebody who is not a transgender advocate PhD, they're going to find out the kid's suffering from bipolar disorder, mm-hmm. schizophrenia, separation anxiety, or dissociative disorders.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole host of disorders that happen to these kids when the parents are cross-dressing them, and it is abhorrent.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And the real underlying issues are not being addressed. And as you're saying, the suicide rate is 41%. Because those issues are not being addressed, they're just being glossed over and just given a stamp of approval to move on to the gender that you think you were born. And
I want to say this because I want people to hear this. Psychologically, sound people do not commit suicide.
That's true.
Period. Yeah. It doesn't happen. The place that studies suicide said 90% of everyone who commits suicide does it because they have some psychological distress.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are alcoholics, some are drug addicts, some have prostituted themselves
mm-hmm.
and have AIDS or something else, and they just want to take their life. So we're putting these people they're putting their lives in jeopardy by stuffing them full of hormones and hormone blockers, and somebody has got to sober up and begin getting some sanity back and stopping this absolute man-made madness, because they're not born that way.
Right,
this whole born that way stuff is just one of the biggest medical frauds and lies in our history.
It absolutely is, but it's being fed, again, by those who are in power. You sent your testimony to Massachusetts, to Mass Resistance, when there was a bill, a transgender rights bill that was being introduced. And part of your testimony, you asked the question, why are legislators more interested in passing more protective sex laws when the real need of transgenders is more help in prevention of suicide? when they have such a high suicide rate, they're not getting the psychological treatment they need, and activist groups are trying to remove psychological evaluations for transgenders. The advocates that are pushing for transgenders in schools to be able to have an extra bathroom or identify as any gender they wish, they're pushing all the laws that are, in my view, what is actually killing transgenders. And here in Pennsylvania, which, you know, you've talked about the psychological issues, the underlying psychological issues with the transgenders. Mm-hmm. But I know here in Pennsylvania, we have bills that have been introduced, several bills by Democrats. Seems like they're that's the usual parties doing these introducing these bills.
Well, it's fundraising. It's money for the Democratic Party. If they come out against it, they're going to lose the votes. It's all about voting and all about fundraising. It's not about kids and transgenders. It's totally fundraising and money.
You're right about that, because almost all of these Democrats are from Philadelphia, so where all the liberals live in Pennsylvania, or most of them live. But, you know, we have a bill that has been introduced that would open up school bathrooms and locker rooms to boys who think they're girls, and will bar any harassment of said sexually confused individuals. We have another one that has been introduced that would require all PA health care plans to cover sex change surgeries and hormone treatments. And then another one has been introduced that would prohibit parents from seeking the counseling that their child needs, counseling for unwanted same-sex attraction.
Right.
So, you know, even Pennsylvania, I mean, we're right in the middle of all this stuff, too, as the rest of the country is. And I don't want our listeners to think, well, you know, that happened someplace else and it's not going to happen here.
No, it's happening everywhere.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. So you said there are several books that you've written that are available that folks can get on Amazon. You want to go through that list of books again?
The clinical study books that give the parents and others good sound information. Paper Genders, which was so widely accepted, it's been reprinted and published in Italian and Italy.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
Gender Lies and Suicide is another great book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that tells my journey in a novel form is Kid Dakota and the Secret at Grandma's House.
Okay.
And
that's two different books. That's two different books. Kid Dakota.
Kid Dakota and the Secret at Grandma's House is one book.
Okay, one book. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then for the pastors of churches who are interested in getting a grip on how they should approach people who are struggling with this issue, the book A Transgender's Faith is another book. So we've got the two clinical books, and then we have a book that's available for pastors of churches to help them understand how to deal with it, because it's written with pastors included writing in the book. And then my book, Kid Dakota and the Secret at Grandma's House, one book, great book, gives the whole history of from the start to the end and all the stuff that I went through and how I made it out the other side sane and happily married now for 18 years.
That's fantastic. Do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, it's www.sexchangeregret.com.
Okay, www.sexchangeregret.com. And I do encourage our listeners to go to Walt's website and also to pick up some of these books, because a lot of good resources on his website, stories of other ones besides Walt who have had sex change regret and such as that. So I do encourage folks to go to sexchangeregret.com and also to pick up some of these books on Amazon. Again, Walt, thank you so much for the courage that you've had in telling your story and just making people aware that there's great damage being done to children and to other ones who are confused about their sexuality.
Thank you for having me on, and I hope we can save a life.
Hope so, too. Hey, you take care.
Bye.
Okay.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.